gentlemen, welcome to a special episode of Mulder Was Right.
Woo!
This is our Halloween episode.
Although it is several days after Halloween by the time you hear this, so
yeah,
you'll get over it.
It's always Halloween.
Yeah.
It's always Halloween.
And
you know.
And to be fair, it's always Halloween here at Mulder Was Right because everything we talk about is very scary.
Yeah, we're always a bit spooky.
So for those of you who don't know who we are Mulder Was Right, and we are a conspiracy theory podcast. We talk about conspiracies and alternative facts, and I am one of your hosts, Sakeev, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, as always,
Curtis.
And I'm Brendan.
Thanks, guys. Curtis, you don't sound super excited right now.
I'm just never excited to say my own name. It comes from just like deep set like anxiety and self-esteem issues. But Ooh. But I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad to hear that you're happy to be here.
Me too.
I want you to be happy, Curtis.
Don't tell me what to do.
Okay.
Anyhow, tonight we are talking about a very I think I have a pretty interesting topic here for you guys because it's actually a bit of a local legend here in Colorado.
Oh,
okay.
Pulling out the local stuff there. I don't know where I'm going with this, but
I don't,
yeah. Okay. What do you got for us to keep?
Curtis, you're off your game today.
I'm just a little like tired, I guess. I don't know.
So tonight, what I've got for you is we're going to be talking about Riverdale Road.
Riverdale Road. I don't have any idea what that is.
I don't either.
Is that the town in like Archie comics, Riverdale?
I've never read an Archie comic, so I can't tell you.
Well, there's like a show that's
called Riverdale.
That's called Riverdale, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and that show is based off of the Archie comics. It's like all the same characters as the Archie
but
comics.
But it's like super dark.
Yeah.
Literally never heard of this.
Okay,
you've
so
never
I was
heard of Archie comics?
Well, I've heard of Archie comics, but I've never heard of the TV show Riverdale.
Okay.
Okay, well.
Well, it's a thing. It exists.
I haven't really seen it, so.
I haven't seen it either.
This concludes our discussion of the television show Riverdale.
Indeed. Anyhow, Riverdale, like I said, is a local legend of Colorado. So, what is Riverdale? What do you guys think Riverdale Road is just by me saying Riverdale Road?
It's a road.
It sounds like a nice road that's by a river, like a nice scenic drive. I can imagine some nice Colorado mountains in the background, some fresh like snow melt river, real clear, crisp water.
A little fish jumping out of the water.
Yeah, maybe someone's like tubing down the river.
Yeah,
just having a nice lazy
and then there's
day.
Like there's like the fisherman on the left of the picture there.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's just having a relaxing, and he's got his son there, and he's like, son, here's how you tie the bait on the hook. And
as the car drives in, you see a large banner that says, Welcome to Riverdale Road.
Yep.
You guys have such a positive image of Riverdale Road.
This is, I expect, like, if this episode is about anything but that image, I'm going to be extremely unhappy.
Well, you're going to be really unhappy because I'm about to crush everything.
I thought
you
wanted me to be happy, Sakeev.
I do want you to be happy. Riverdale Road is a road, as Brendan said.
Oh, wait, we were half right.
It's kind of a scenic road,
okay.
I guess. I mean, my girlfriend and I actually drove past Riverdale Road last weekend. We actually took a drive by it because she's actually the one who brought Riverdale Road up to me, and she was really curious. She kept telling me all of these stories relating to Riverdale Road, and you know, I mean, Brendan, you know how I am. I don't like horror stories and things like that. And there's a lot of horror there's a lot of like dark, creepy stuff happening with Riverdale. But we were out and about on Saturday, doing some Halloween shopping, and she was like, can we go? And I was like, sure, let's do it. And we drove down Riverdale
Road. Okay, so you drove down the road.
We did drive down the road. Riverdale Road doesn't have a river. It does not face the mountains because it actually faces east. It faces east. And the mountains in Colorado are actually to the west. That's what a friend of mine actually pointed out to me, is when you're in Colorado, the mountains are always west.
That seems like...
I should say specifically when you're in Denver,
okay.
The mountains are always
west. Yeah, there you go.
Otherwise, like maybe that could only be true if the western border of Colorado is just all mountains and Colorado ceased right after that. Otherwise, you could just go on the other side of the mountains and still be in Colorado, and then they'd be on the east. Anyway, but that's really exciting. So you actually like went to like this location.
You went to a thing that we're going to be talking about in an episode. Wow.
We did. Yes, we did drive by it. It's a pretty long stretch of road. If you guys ever come up to Colorado, I'll take you over to the road and show you. It's pretty accessible off of, let's see, I believe it was 104th Avenue, if I remember. I think we actually got on from 108th. But I mean, you can essentially go down 104th and get to it. I think there's
this
a way
means
to connect
nothing to us
from 120th. What
is this relevant? All the numbers of the roads.
I mean, just like you know,
we know exactly where it is.
This is
though,
how
now.
You get. This is how you get.
Okay. We know exactly where it is.
And again, it's Riverdale Road is actually in Thornton, Colorado.
Thornton.
So it's not a very far drive from where I myself live. It was about a 15-minute drive to get to Riverdale.
Okay,
I want to say
Curtis, this is really neat because
it's very important to know where things are. I mean, how do you get to Grandma's house? It's over the river and through the woods. How do you get to Riverdale? Take 120th Street
or 108th or 104th.
It's really important to know these things.
Yep,
geography.
If I'm ever around Denver,
is important.
Or if I'm ever in Thornton, Colorado,
yeah.
I'll know to either go to or avoid that area based on what Sakeef is about to tell me.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to know this stuff by memory in case you drop your smartphone in like a toilet or something
or
at a rest stop or something. Some mud.
A bunch of chili.
It gets taken from you.
A man throws it into a bunch of chili.
Yeah.
You guys probably want to avoid Riverdale based on what I'm going to tell you. I will say this. As we were driving... As we had pulled, there's a particular location we were actually driving to that we were like looking for. Like my girlfriend really wanted to find this particular location. And I'll talk about it later on in this episode because I don't want to give anything away just yet. But we did go to the place.
The suspense.
We looked around for a little bit.
You went to the place.
And I'll dig into it a little bit more. It's, it is an interesting topic.
Just like that.
But as we were leaving the location, when we actually passed a little bit past the crossroad of Riverdale and 104th, I actually noticed that there was a deer. You know how they put like deer sign, like be careful of
deer. Yeah, it's like a picture of a deer.
Well, I noticed four, what looked to be four claw marks in the sign.
In the deer sign.
In the deer zing sign.
So like some monster did not want people to be aware that this was a high deer area.
Well, you could still see the sign. I mean, like you could still see the deer, okay, but you could tell that there were like, it looked like claw marks, honestly.
That's do you think a deer did that?
How?
I'd be surprised if a deer could do that.
It's not flattering to my shape. Ugh.
And they just like, you know, the deer claws.
Yeah. How large were the claw marks, Sakeef?
They were pretty large. They were fairly decently
like,
sized.
Like would you want these claw marks on your face?
Oh, definitely not. They probably are the size of your face.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's a big claw mark.
So it'd deface you.
It'd deface
you. It'd be unvisaged.
It would deface you. It would deface you.
Yes.
It's pretty intense.
Curtis, your face would then become vestigial.
You'd have a... Yeah, you know, that's a little bit of a stretch of the word vestigial, but...
okay.
You could argue that, yeah.
It's the word of the day, Curtis.
Word of the day vestigial. Is vestigial, by the way, Sakeef. And everyone listening to this episode, the word of the day is vestigial.
Can you describe vestigial for
us? Vestigial... This will be like the third time today I've defined vestigial, because apparently I'm the only one on the podcast who knows what it means. It's a term used in evolutionary biology when... a certain species evolves down a certain path and still has some leftover traits, like leftover body parts. Like you might think of your little toe as kind of vestigial because your little toe doesn't really do a whole lot. Like it used to be sort of a finger like a long time ago when you were still more ape-like.
Tailbone. That's a really good example.
Yeah, like a tail. Like we used to have tails and now we just have a tailbone and it's kind of vestigial. It's sort of like a little thing that's evolving away that's just slowly going to disappear from our race, but it's still sort of left over. That's vestigial.
And it's not necessary.
Yeah, and it's currently not really serving a purpose.
So you think our pinky toes will eventually disappear?
It's possible. You know, actually, They might be used for balance. I don't know a whole lot about pinky toes. That was just sort of an example.
But the tailbone, a really good example of that.
Or like
because
your
that's not necessary at all.
Your appendix, maybe?
Having two kidneys?
Yeah. People can live with one, I guess.
Yeah.
Though I think it's nice to have two.
I like having two.
I don't think we're going to evolve away from two kidneys.
Maybe evolve into three kidneys.
Because if people have to start giving them away, yeah, it makes sense for everyone to have three.
Because you can sell them. So, like, it's a good starter money.
It is.
We'll evolve capitalistically.
I'm trying to do a startup in Silicon Valley. It's a new kidney selling app.
Yeah. That's the currency of the future is just kidneys.
Kidneys.
You thought
you could get into a gene modification and organ cloning.
So Riverdale.
Riverdale.
That's a thing.
Riverdale.
Claw marks.
Are there a bunch of kidneys laying around on Riverdale Road?
There are not.
Okay.
But I want you guys to kind of visualize Riverdale Road.
All right, I'm going to start with my old image of Riverdale Road that I've already thoroughly described.
You know what, Sakeef?
So imagine, go ahead.
I'm going to start with the image of 104th Street.
Which you don't even know.
It's a lot less scenic. It's just sort of a connecting road. There's like a power station.
It's the turn on.
It's
a deer sign.
There's that one like random house, and there's not a lot else. There's a couple fields. You just got to get through 104th to get to the nice Riverdale Road.
Anyway, Sakeef, describe Riverdale Road for us here.
So it's
paint me a picture.
It's a two-way, one-lane road.
Okay.
So there's only one lane for each direction.
Pretty standard road.
And it goes about, it goes in the directions of north and south. So you can actually take it to drive towards Denver if you'd like, by going south. And the road is windy, so there's a lot of winding on the road, so you want to be careful when you're driving down Riverdale. You have to be really careful because it's a very winding road, and a lot of accidents can actually happen. Accidents have happened on Riverdale because people drive really fast down Riverdale, which, like I said, is winding, mm-hmm. and during extreme weather conditions, like, it's even worse to drive through. It's not an ideal drive, but unfortunately, not everybody takes that into account, which brings us to the first part of our discussion of Riverdale Road, the Black Camaro, or the Phantom Camaro, as some call it.
Whoa, is this going to be a ghost car?
You're pretty much on the spot.
Is it like that one David Hasselhoff show?
That's Night Car.
Night Car.
Night Rider?
Yeah.
This is interesting. Let's get the Black Camaro. I think Stephen King wrote some sort of book about like a haunted car or something. I believe it. But anyway, I haven't read it, so just let's keep going
down Riverdale Road.
Back in the 70s, a driver in a 70s Black Camaro wrecked along Riverdale Road,
yep.
resulting in his demise. However, his ghost remains. And if you're driving late at night, you may encounter a Black Camaro with one of its headlights out. Do not race it. I will repeat this again. Do not race it. It will challenge you to a race, and you'll probably die. You will race into your death, essentially, is what happens if you try to drive it.
Does the Black Camaro pull up, like, just to your left? Because it's only a one-lane road each way, so it's got to be going in the wrong way.
It's got to be. I mean, the legend goes that, like, like I said, this guy in the Camaro died. He wrecked, and he perished in the wreckage. And so, basically, like, his ghost lives on, the Camaro lives on, and he will challenge you to a race. And it's a bad idea because, like I said, it's one lane roads.
Yeah. So
this is very much a cautionary tale. A lot of people, it might be it might be because people want to scare people off from driving recklessly down River Road. And, you want to be careful. You don't want to die. And if you race this thing, you're going to die.
Is it just sort of like people have a tendency to lose control and crash, or will like Will the ghost car actually like push you off the road?
You know, in my research, it only said do not race it because you will race to your death.
Oh, okay. Do you just
I've seen that movie. Death Race.
Death Race. Oh.
Death Race 2000.
Yeah. Oh, 2000.
Yeah.
Do you just get caught in the thrill of racing and you race forever and until you like look up and then you're dead?
I would assume your fate would be the same as this driver. I would assume that you would wreck on the side of Riverdale. Like I said before, it's a winding road. It's not ideal conditions. Like, you don't want to be going super fast,
right?
Because it's not a straight road at all. It's constantly winding.
Well, some people some people like that for racing. They like drifting, you know? The movie Tokyo Drift.
Yep.
Yeah, but
and you go like skirt.
Also not a, I mean, it's busy enough that there's traffic for sure.
You don't want to be scurrying down the road.
You don't want to be scurrying down the road. You probably either end up hitting somebody or you probably drive
you'd
off
explode.
The road.
Keith.
And especially if you do it in like, you know, if you're doing it when it's like raining or snowing, mm-hmm. like it's even worse. And Colorado does get snow and rain, so.
Yes, Keith. I have a question here.
What's your question?
So how does he get you to race? Does he egg you on?
Does he
badmouth your girlfriend? Be like, look at you, you can't.
What if you don't have a girlfriend?
You can't race.
Let's keep in mind it's a ghost, so he's probably revving his engine. You know?
Yeah,
he's probably just like,
because when somebody revs their engine next to me, because for whatever reason we're stopped.
Yeah, you've come to a stop, or you're still going, and because it's a ghost car, he can just rev his engine whenever he wants.
Because
even if he's still moving.
Physics don't work.
Right, because he's a ghost.
Yeah, he's a ghost.
Or he plays the sound of a revving engine
on his
really
iPhone.
Loudly. On his ghost iPhone.
Yeah.
Remember that he died in the 70s, so he doesn't have an
iPhone.
Well,
ghosts
keep up with technology.
Every iPhone that dies also has a ghost. So, like, an iPhone died, and he was like, oh, cool, this new thing. Like, technology still develops in the ghost world.
Yeah. Haven't you watched Danny Phantom? That tech goes, it keeps going.
The tech keeps going.
I have a question of, so people, like, he shows up, he eggs you on, and you're like, man, I gotta race this fucking ghost.
Yeah,
this
man.
Sounds, and honestly,
this
like,
guy revved at me.
Like, if there was a ghost and the ghost was like, race me, like, it'd be kind of sweet to race a ghost, you know, honestly.
Like, think how many people you can tell. Like, yeah, dude, I raced a ghost.
Dude, I raced a ghost the other day.
I mean, you guys might think that's sweet, but I don't know how you're going to feel about this next story.
Hold on, though. I still have questions.
Okay.
So you race this ghost and then you die inevitably because you were dumb and you race the ghost.
Yeah.
Do you then also start haunting Riverdale Road?
That's a very good question.
And so now every time the black Camaro pulls up, you also pull up and you're like, hey, race both of us. And then that person dies and then three cars pull up and eventually there's just a whole like fury road of ghost cars that pull up and they're like, race us.
That is the movie. That's the movie that I want.
You know what? I don't know. I haven't heard about this, but you know, there are other people who have died on Riverdale Road. So.
Because it makes complete sense. If you race the car and then you die because of racing, I feel like you gotta be pretty pissed off at the black Camaro guy, and you're just like, what the hell, man?
I gotta keep racing him.
I gotta keep racing him.
And the other people. and then, like, you really start to join this huge club of racing on Riverdale Road as ghosts. And
it's like a biker gang.
Yeah.
You don't try to get into it. It kind of just happens.
Yeah, and they probably have, like, a clubhouse and, like, meetings, and they talk about stuff, and they hang out and drink some, you know, throw back some cold ones.
Yeah, it's
ghost cold
ones. It's over by the fisherman teaching his son how to put on some bait
off
under the hook.
Off a 122nd.
Off 122nd.
Yeah. So, you know, that doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah. All right, Skeef, what else you got?
Okay. The next thing I got for you is the ghost jogger on Jogger's Hill.
Okay, so the ghost jogger, he comes up and he's like, race me. But the jogging path is really slippery, and so you run in really fast
scarier.
And you fall down, and then you become a ghost jogger, and then both the ghost joggers come up. And you're like, race me. And so it's the same thing. And you have like a jogging clubhouse.
Every year they have the Riverdale reunion and all the ghosts gather and have a big party.
Yeah. This just sounds like a great
time. It sounds like a
great
time.
This is going back to my original image of Riverdale Road.
Riverdale Road.
Except, like, you know, the man and his son, he's a ghost.
He's a ghost.
And the person tubing down, it's a ghost.
It's a ghost.
The mountains are a ghost, and the river's a ghost.
Yeah.
And it's all just a ghost.
It's all just a ghost.
But it's still nice.
Yeah. okay. So, okay. So we got the jogger.
Okay, we got a jogger. I'll stop messing you up.
So, this story's definitely creepier than the last one.
Okay.
Definitely creeped me out as I was researching this. Like, I was frightened as I was researching this.
Last story is very pleasant, so.
So, one night, a jogger was running along a dirt road just off of Riverdale Road. A motorist hit the jogger. Panicked and frightened, the motorist drove off and left the jogger to die. The jogger's ghost is said to haunt the area and will attack any motorist who parks at the crest of the hill to admire the view of the city lights, which is supposed to be pretty glamorous. And he haunts it because he's very angered by, he's frustrated and angry that somebody killed him. And so he essentially stays there to find his attacker.
Okay.
Hey, Curtis, how angry would you be if somebody killed you?
Pretty mad.
Yeah,
be real mad.
Let me ask you guys something. Do you want to see the jogger?
Do you have him there?
Like, well,
is
I'm
he
asking
a,
you,
he,
are you a brave soul or are you possibly a fool?
Is he a guest on the podcast?
Are you a brave soul or are you possibly a fool, Brendan?
Oh, well,
I'm not saying he's on the podcast.
Okay, well, if you're going to ask us just that very strict question, I am certainly a fool.
Okay.
I will take...
Works for me.
I will take the brave soul. Brave soul
okay.
for 300.
All right, if both of you have answered to wanting to essentially see the jogger, so here's what you can do if you want to find the jogger. What you're supposed to do is you're actually supposed to park at the top of the hill at night and turn off your headlights and your engine. Once you do, listen carefully. You will begin to hear the sound of someone running on the road somewhere behind your car. Okay? They will continue to come closer and closer. And people have reported handprints on their windows, as
what
well as
that?
Banging noises along the sides and back of the car. So as this running gets closer, they start hearing banging
boom.
On the sides and back of their
boom,
car.
Boom, boom.
That's the jogger. And you're not supposed to let him get past that point. You know, if he starts hitting the sides and the back, that's as far as you want him to go. If he reaches the driver's side window, he will try to kill you.
Okay, that's a good... I'm glad that it's really linear like that.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're parked up there with your like high school sweetheart, because of course, like, this is where the kids go
yeah,
to make out,
yeah.
you know, above the city. This
yeah.
is the stereotypical
spot. It's
very
pretty.
Yeah. And you're like, come on, Susie, let's make out. And she's like, I hear the jogger. And you're like, nah, he's still jogging. Like, he's not even banging on the car yet. We don't have to worry.
Have to worry. Wait for him to bang on the car.
Right,
and then we'll
bang on the car and we'll go.
We'll do a loop around. We'll come back.
And then
he'll be
gone.
He'll have to start it all over again.
Jogging up again.
Come on, Susie. What are you doing?
And
I got this. I know, like, my mom's told me the stories. I know the pattern.
Yeah. I'm glad you told us that pattern, Sakeef, because that's a good workaround to sort of trick the jogger ghost.
He can't skip it.
Yeah, he's got to go through it every time. He's really OCD.
He's not just going to jump straight to the window.
He can't jump straight to the window. Sure, you can hear the footprints, but he can't jump straight to the window. Because after he's been jogging, he has to, like, whew. And then pants at the back of the truck.
Yeah, he's really just resting at that point. He's tired and he's like slaps his hand down and that's a banging and he's like, yep. I like this.
Yep. I don't know why he's taking it out on these people.
It's really like, not,
sure, they drove a car, but like they didn't kill him.
Hasn't like a therapist
well,
ever
he's
died
hunting-
and become a ghost and can like talk to these people and help these ghosts get through their issues?
Who died?
Like a therapist. And there's like a ghost therapist.
I mean, a ghost therapist would probably help these people. But Brendan, to answer your question, he's essentially looking for the person who killed
okay,
him.
Okay,
he's
still looking.
Doing that.
Sure.
Yeah, he's still looking for his attacker.
I don't know how he'd be able to
That's
figure
why
it out.
He stays there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he just saw the car.
He's just going to be safe and just kill everyone with a car.
Yep.
If, you know,
pretty much.
The only way to be sure.
Yep.
That is pretty creepy, though. I would probably think twice before parking at the top of that hill
and turning off my car and lights and making out with Susie. So, but really, I'd make out with Susie.
But and again, I would just, you know, I'd wait till the car banging and then leave.
Yeah. It's a big workaround. I feel like we figured out workarounds here.
I mean, maybe.
In the first one, you know, you just die and then just race everyone now.
Yeah,
that's just
your
job.
Become a part of the cool ghost
group. Become the,
if you want to die,
you become part of the gang. And then the second one, you just, you know, you can drive away at the right time.
Just drive away at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to drive away at the right time. But keep in mind, your headlights are off, your engine's off. You have to be ready to go. Like, you can't just be making out with Susie the whole time. Like, you got to be ready to go.
Okay, so he's going to, like, bang on the car, and is it, like, too late almost by that point? Or do you really got to go?
If he starts banging on the car, like I said, you don't let him go past that, because he will start creeping up to the driver's side window, and that's the point where attempts to kill you.
So, Steve, do we know how he kills them?
Yeah.
I don't know how. But I would keep in mind that he's a ghost, and cars aren't a limit, I would say, in that
cars
situation.
Don't stop ghosts. That's cars, common knowledge. He probably just goes through the car and, or like, you know, in Ghostbusters, in other ghost fiction, like, ghosts can possess objects, like radios and maybe even the car itself. So maybe he possesses the car itself, backs it up, drives you over to Riverdale Road, and then makes you race the Black Camaro, and then you inevitably die
die. So it's teamwork.
Teamwork.
Teamwork makes the dream.
That's
work.
What we're about here at Riverdale Road.
Yep. You got any more? You got any more fun stories, Keith?
I do. We're next. This one's kind of short, but we'll actually end up coming back to it. Later on in our last part of this topic.
I'm sure we'll be obnoxious and drag it out.
You will. This time we're talking about the Lady in White.
The Lady in White. Sounds nice.
This one goes as a woman dressed in white supposedly appears alongside Riverdale Road. And if you stop to offer her a ride, she will accept, but she will disappear before she even gets in the car.
Oh.
Note that you can't find her after Labor Day.
Yep. Can't wear white after Labor Day.
Yep, that was the point of
that.
That
was the joke there.
That was the joke there.
See, I didn't know that before.
So oh, it's a common known fact.
Yeah, not for me, I guess.
it's just sort of general fashion advice. So does anything happen after that, or we're not sure?
That's pretty much
okay.
It. But there is another part to this story. There's like another conflicting story to it, like, of who the woman is, but I don't want to talk about that just yet.
Okay.
Because I forgot to say this at the beginning of the podcast, but my girlfriend Tristine actually helped me do the research for this one, and she put a big part of the research into the last thing we're going to talk about. I don't want to say what it is because I don't want to give anything away.
Okay.
But we'll come back to this because she did end up referencing it herself as well in the notes that she took for this. So we'll just keep the Lady in White.
Okay. So she's the Lady in White and she's like, "Hey man, I need a ride." And you're like, "You know, I'll help out this stranger. I'll take a chance." And then you pull over, open your door, and then she just disappears.
Well, you're the one offering her the ride is how I'm taking
it. Oh, wait, so I just see a woman on the side of the road and I pull over and I'm like, "Hey, get in my car." And then she disappears?
In a nice way. It's more like an
I leave
way.
People alone when they're on the side of the road and they not asking for help. I don't like bothering people.
I know where you're coming from, but not everybody's like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't like weird people getting in my car.
Well, maybe she's not weird. She's just a ghost.
Yeah. I mean,
I actually, it'd be pretty weird if she disappeared.
Yeah. It'd be weird.
You'd be relieved. Like,
I
wow,
feel like,
God,
I feel like,
my car.
Yeah, man, she didn't get in my car. Whew, dodge that bullet.
She was weird. She just disappeared.
She disappeared. What would we have talked about when she get in? So
you just
disappear.
Disappear?
My- probably not good with men, are you?
Probably not good with just like corporeality.
People. Like... All right. What else you got?
Okay. So I found actually a personal account of someone by the name of Taylor Goodson, who is a Colorado local, this is his personal account on a September night in 2005 when he was the age of 16.
All right.
And so this is what happened.
Was he going to make out with Susie?
He was actually going to the movies. What he says is, what he recalls in his account is, Susie. We took Riverdale Road as a shortcut to get to the movie theater. It was pretty late, around 11:45, because I remember we were headed to a midnight showing and we were running late. We started hearing this rattling in the car and decided to pull over to check out what it was. We parked right under the E-470 pass, got out of the car, and started to inspect the back of it, where the rattling had been coming from. We didn't see anything noticeable, but we heard something. It was laughing. At first, it sounded like children laughing, but after seconds, it became much more sinister. My friend Craig grabbed me by the shoulder. His eyes were huge. He was so scared, and we all ran back into the car. Once we got to the movie theater, the back window of the car was fogged, but there was clear writing on it. Get out. I've never driven down that road again.
Pretty spooky.
Get out of what?
Get out of the road.
Get out of the road?
Yeah.
Get out of Riverdale.
Probably go away would have been better. Or,
go away.
Or
don't drive down Riverdale.
Private property.
At night.
Ghostland only.
Ghosts only.
Get out of your car because it's possessed now by ghosts.
Mm-hmm. It's a little wordy, but I like where you're going.
Yeah. So nothing like physically bad happened to these guys. They just, the ghost spooked them and they left.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Did they go see the movie Ghost?
I don't know when that movie
came out.
Not
2005. I do want to talk a little bit about what movie maybe they were seeing. What came out in 2005 that you'd go to a midnight release of?
I was in the fifth grade, so I couldn't tell you.
Let me think.
Let me look up movies that
like
came
Lord
out
of the Rings. Maybe like no.
Pretty sure Lord of the Rings was like 2001 to 2003.
I'm thinking like yeah.
Sakeef
okay.
is right though. That is correct.
Maybe like the first Batman movie.
I don't think there was a Harry Potter film that came out that year. Because I remember that the first and second movies came out one after the other, but the third movie took 2 years to release. And then I think they took another 2 years to
so
release.
So clearly they went to go see the movie Madagascar.
Madagascar came out in 2005. Okay.
Madagascar came out in 2005. The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Sky High.
I'm putting my bets on that.
Came out
Ooh.
In 2005. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire came out in 2005.
Oh, you know, it might have been that, actually.
Batman Begins came out in 2005.
I guessed that. I said the first Batman movie.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory came out in 2005.
Wow.
That was a good year.
Saw 2 came out in 2005.
That's probably
maybe they were
the Wedding
so
Crashers came out in 2005.
Crashers.
Star Wars Episode 3 came out in 2005.
Oh, man.
Okay,
oh,
Brendan,
it was probably
I think
that,
we've
then.
Listed enough movies.
The Island came out in 2005. Brokeback Mountain came out in 2005.
Really?
I think we've listed enough movies here, Brendan.
Brokeback Mountain came out the same year as Revenge of the Sith.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith came out in 2005. Chicken Little came out in 2005.
Okay, Brendan.
It was definitely
it.
Chicken Little.
A lot of movies came out in 2005.
It was definitely Chicken Little. Remember Chicken Little for later.
Yep. Okay.
So, you know, so far, I mean, I'm telling you all these ghost stories, but I want you guys to keep that in mind because, you know, Riverdale Road is supposed to be pretty dark. Like, it's just like, there's a lot of ghost stories. Like, there's supposed to be a lot of dead people at Riverdale Road. I mean, like, when my girlfriend was telling me about it, she told me she was talking to her mom about it and how you just like, if you go there, it's like, there's just so many stories revolving around Riverdale Road. Like we talked about how there's a chance we might bring something back home with us.
Like a ghost,
like a pet,
like a demon,
like a ghost disease.
No, like a demon. I'm saying demon.
Okay.
Because, Because the next thing we're talking about is the gates of hell.
Wow, is it there?
Mommy, this demon followed me home. Can I keep it?
Is it just like if you turn, like, if you're on 104th Street and you turn right, is that just the gates of hell right there?
No, you have to, it was, we actually got onto, I think we actually
found the location.
Are
you about to literally tell me where the gates of hell are?
I'm about to tell you where the gates of hell are.
I'm sure there's not just one gate. There's probably multiple gates. I know, but I'm saying that this is probably not the only entrance into hell.
Well, this is the Colorado entrance to
hell. It's the Colorado entrance to hell.
Okay, let me start by telling you what the legend here is.
I would love
that. So the legend goes, the way the locals know the story is this. A rich man in the 1800s built his mansion at 9190 Riverdale Road for his wife and children. And my girlfriend and I actually did drive up to this location to find this mansion. We can talk more about that as we talk more about the legend. So after becoming involved with satanic worship, he went crazy, burned down his underground chicken coop, which is believed to have been found with strange markings.
Hold on.
You just can't skip over that.
Who keeps a chicken coop underground? Why do you have chickens underground? They need to be above ground.
I mean,
to eat bugs and stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, see that hole over there? It's full of chickens.
This house was built in like the late 1800s.
Underground chicken coops were common.
Also, like, imagine building an underground chicken coop in the 1800s. Like, that must have been fucking hard.
It was like late 1800s. It was like close to the, it was like a few years before the turn.
Okay, so
it was
the Industrial Revolution that happened.
It was well worth it.
He still didn't have a backhoe. And
we'll get into more details about like the build, like, the construction of
and the underground chicken coop. You know, the reason why they did that was because he was not a fan of the whiter eggs. He really liked the darker brown eggs.
And you need that?
Yeah.
You need them to be underground for that?
Yeah.
Because, okay.
That's where they grow those.
Okay. That's where they come from.
So, like I said, he got involved with satanic worship, went
like
crazy,
people do.
And burned down the chicken coop.
So he so now he's like burned down his underground chicken coop.
He burns down the underground chicken coop.
There was probably some underground chicken poop
probably
there,
poop.
Yeah.
There probably was.
And he
probably
burned
happened.
It as well.
Yeah.
So he burns the chicken coop down, and it's believed to have been found with strange markings on the wall. And this causes the entire home to burn down with his sleeping wife and children inside.
Okay, so it's a bit of a understatement to say that he burned down the underground chicken coop, because really he burned down his whole mansion. Okay.
Exactly.
Is the chicken coop really relevant here? Is this something that we could have not mentioned even? Like,
it's actually quite relevant. Okay. It is very relevant, actually. So it's believed he performed dark magic in the chicken coop and consequently tore a rift between the earthly realm and the gates of hell. Those brave enough, ranging from cocky teens to paranormal investigators, have reported visiting the site to hear, see, and feel a threatening presence.
So imagine you're in hell, right? And you're like, all right, guys, let's go to Colorado. And we just got this new entrance to Colorado. Let's go check it out. And you get out and you're like, where are we? Is this a chicken coop?
Are we underground?
Who put gates to hell in a chicken coop?
Underground.
Who puts a chicken coop underground? We don't even do that in hell. And then you're a demon, so you go like terrorizing people.
Yeah.
Or whatever demons do.
Exactly. You start
and you go fuck some shit
yeah,
up.
We came here for a reason. Let's not dwell on the past.
This has been very so this guy, he builds a mansion, he's got his underground chicken coop, his life's going great. he's a nice rich man, and then
he gets mixed up with Satan worshiping.
He gets
like
mixed
people
up
do.
In Satan worshiping. So he gets involved in that. Do we know why he gets involved in Satan worship? Is he just always sort of leaned that way?
Peer pressure.
No,
okay.
We don't know
why. Not yeah, that's
because,
fine.
Like I said, this is part of the legend, and I'm going to give you the facts.
Okay.
Oh.
But before I do delve into the facts, there's one other part. Now, do you guys remember I mentioned earlier the lady?
Yeah,
in
I forgot.
We do.
So, another urban legend of Riverdale Road, like, you know, as I mentioned earlier, claims a lady in white has been seen walking barefoot down the
road. Oh, you didn't mention she was barefoot.
Yep.
It changes everything.
Changes everything.
It really does.
So good Samaritans will approach the woman and ask if she needs help. And the woman remains silent, stares straight up, or stares straight ahead, and keeps walking. And in other accounts, the woman accepts, like I mentioned, but when the driver looks back to see if she's getting into the passenger side, she disappears. So with this woman, when people, like, you know, for this account, like, if you stop next to her and you ask her to give her a ride, and she just keeps looking onward and doesn't say anything, the people who notice her will continue to continue to drive on, and they'll look in their rearview mirror and they'll see that she's gone.
Right, so she's not walking along the road anymore. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So she disappears after they
look
back.
Okay, that tracks.
Yep.
Yeah. So, many think this is the wife who died in the fire looking for her lost children.
Oh,
okay. That's why she wants a ride.
She's like...
to check the homeless shelters. To check the orphanages.
Or that's why she's continuously walking.
Or...
to check the chicken coop.
Is she looking for her chickens?
She's looking for the dead chickens. The crispy fried chickens.
Yeah, I mean, you could say her children were that way also. But that would be more morbid. But this is a ghost, so who knows?
Yeah. I don't know how they like their food.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Do you think she was in on the Satan worshiping, or you think that was just something her husband kind of drew her into?
It was just her husband. Okay. So let me give you guys the facts behind the gates of hell.
You're about to give me factual information about the gates of hell.
I'm about to give you factual information regarding the house burning down.
Okay.
And the chicken coop burning
down. So I will not receive factual information about the gates of hell.
No, you won't receive factual information about the gates of hell. The facts here are David H. Walpert was born November 23rd, 1833 in Ohio. In 1859, along with many others, seeking gold and silver during the California Gold Rush, Walpert headed west. He traveled along the Santa Fe Trail to New Mexico, then back up to Pikes Peak. In a party of 16 gold seekers, he headed toward the Fairplay Breckenridge area to North Park, north of Denver. It was there the party split up, and Walpert headed to Denver. It was Walpert that constructed the Clayton Block on downtown Denver's Larimer Street. He is considered part of the 59ers, a club of the first pioneers of Colorado because they migrated before Colorado was officially a state. And following the Platte River 9 miles north, he settled on a plot of land. He patented and built his mansion in 1864. He married his wife, Catherine Henderson, the same year. He fathered three children, his son David, and his two daughters, Lucille and Mary. The Walpert family lived in the mansion for 50 years until David Wolpert's death in 1909. He and Catherine are buried in Riverside Cemetery in Thornton. Catherine died in 1915.
All right.
Do we know how she died?
She died of old age, man. This guy died in 1909, and he was born in, He was born in 1833. So, I mean, he was like
76.
1909, what is that? 73, 76.
So how do we know that this is the same person?
That's who owned the mansion.
It's the same mansion. Yeah, it's who owned the mansion in the story. You know, David H. Walpert is the Walpert family are the owners of the mansion. And as I said, David died in 1909 and his wife Catherine died in 1915.
Okay, so did the mansion ever actually burn down?
It actually did. Let me see. So what happens is over the homes, they die in 1915, right? The mansion doesn't burn for several decades, actually. And what happens is over the home's lifetime, Walpert Mansion has been home to some of Colorado's richest and often most scandalous history, inciting many rumors and legends. It was known to have been a gambling den in the 20s, a brothel, a drover's inn. For cowboys.
Did they keep the chicken coop going this the whole time?
I believe the chicken coop had been continued to be around.
Wow.
It was also a racehorse ranch.
Wow. Neat. There was a lot of stuff here.
So it's, yeah. Brothel, Drover's Inn for cowboys, racehorse ranch, gambling den. It's also been said a previous owner lost the house in a drunken card game, and even rumors of murders on the land are associated with its history. And over time, the mansion began to fall victim to time. It became dilapidated, marked up with graffiti, and vandalized. And it wasn't until May 1975 that a fire started in the chicken house.
Oh, okay.
A project had been sponsored by the Adams County Historical Society and the Colorado Centennial Bicentennial Commission to restore the home to its original glory. But after the fire, county health authorities claimed the space a fire hazard and a danger to the entire community, and the current residents were dismissed. On November 28th, 1975, the mansion burned down to the ground. The only remains still standing are the large iron gates that once marked the entryway.
And the chicken coop.
Well, it just doesn't stand. It's underground.
You're right.
It lays?
Lays.
So you could argue that maybe the Satan worshiper actually was some dude in 1975 then who was there.
So we can theorize about that later because I have an interesting fact relating to the fire, which we're about to discuss. So we can actually theorize about that a little bit. So this is the section she has titled Fact and Fiction, Fires, Satanic Worship, and Ghostly Inhabitants. By she, I mean Tristine. Like I said, my girlfriend did the was wonderful and helped me do the research and for this topic, and she really delved into the gates of hell.
That is much more work than my girlfriend's ever done for this podcast, so grats.
Yeah, shout out to her. By the way, she also, for those of you who are either first-time listeners or haven't heard, she guest-hosted on this podcast a while ago on the La Chupacabra episode, so go
that
check that one out.
That is factual information.
I think
information.
It's episode 13 off the top of my head.
Something like that. All right.
We've been doing this for a while.
We have. What do we got, Sagif?
We're on episode 42 now.
42.
We're on 42. That's crazy.
42, everybody. Welcome. Dev stuff. Happy. Good.
So, you know.
Episode 12.
While the most...
It's episode okay, 12.
Close. So while the most well-known version of the story of Riverdale's most haunted site may have been spun out of proportion with the actual history of Wolpert Mansion, certain truths remain, and certain experiences swarm the area. Many locals have claimed to experience inexplicable events on Riverdale Road, most notably at the site of where Wolpert once stood. While it is true David and Catherine died several years before the fire, stories of the events surrounding the fire continue to pique the interests of locals. There are stories of a man who owned a property farther north of the Wolpert property. This man was said to have killed his family in a murder-suicide after performing strange rituals in the chicken coop. That just gets me every time.
So it's a similar story of he's doing
it's
some
a similar
he's fucking
story.
Around in the chicken coop. And he opens the goddamn gates to hell. Like,
yep, it's a similar. Yeah, so it's not David. It's not David Wolpert. It's not the guy who built this mansion. It's a different guy.
Okay.
Who actually was practicing some weird rituals. And the remnants of the coop do appear to have several strange markings along the inner walls. And whether it is graffiti or something far more sinister is unknown. The coop was later surrounded with a chain link fence, barring curious visitors and vandals from entering. This earned it the nickname of the Gates
okay.
of Hell.
Okay, Sakeef. So how can the chicken coop be surrounded by a chain link fence if it's underground?
So this is, like I mentioned earlier, it's a property that's actually north of the Wolpert Mansion. So, you know, it's a different place. Chicken coop, like, you know, from what the legend says itself. You know, the legend is like, hey, there's an underground coop at the Wolpert Mansion, and that's what gets burned down. But this is like a property. This is like a different guy who lives farther up north.
So,
and so his chicken coop isn't necessarily.
So this is a different man practicing different satanic rituals in a different chicken coop.
Yes.
So, better question. Why do they need to put a chain link fence around the chicken coop I mean, a chicken coop is meant like it has fences already.
I think they did it because, like I said, they found several strange markings along the inner walls. They don't know what they are. And like I said, the man who lived there is said to have killed his family in a murder-suicide. So combining these two things, they probably chained it up because, like, out of fear. Like, hey, bad shit happened here. Stay away.
So bad shit happened here. Okay, you know how to keep people away from it? Chain link fence.
So are they actually afraid the gates of hell are here? And so they put up a fence.
Yeah, they nicknamed it the gates of hell.
To keep in the demons.
To keep in the demons.
All people know that demons can't go through chain link fence.
The demons.
Well, they're not just regular chains. They're chains dipped in holy water. That's how they prevent the demons from coming out.
That's nice.
Okay.
So the demons, they're like, all right, guys, let's go to Colorado. Let's go hiking and terrorize some hikers. And they come up and they're like, ah, fucking fence. Who did this? Put a fence around our door. That sucks.
That's also how you keep Chicken Little in.
Chicken Little, the 2005 hit movie that everyone went to the midnight release of.
Yep.
So here's another thing about the place. There are rumors of slave labor and brutal mistreatment plagued the land, and it is said that slaves were burned and hanged along the South Platte River, and that strange sounds can be heard in the night surrounding one tree in particular, which seems to be charred and burned. Is believed to be the tree where the atrocities took place. Reports include the sound of creaking, like a victim swinging in the wind, or sounds of moans and cries.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah, that's very upsetting.
That's very upsetting.
It is very upsetting.
Was this supposed to be during the time when slavery was legal?
Yeah, so... Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, they're just rumors, but if I remember reading something correctly... I think that, like, the area that this is supposed to be in, there shouldn't have been any slaves here.
But, right, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Not, you know, Colorado...
Considering the time period.
Yeah, I think slavery was abolished before Colorado was really a place people lived. But, I mean, you know, probably there were some amount of slaves, you know.
That may have made it to Colorado.
Like,
I don't know.
Like, if a rich family had some slaves and happened to move to Colorado, they would have taken their slaves with them, and... Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's very creepy and bad.
Yeah. Slavery, it's bad. And creepy.
These are eloquent words here from us.
So, you asked about the fire earlier, and I believe I only mentioned one fire, correct? But there was actually a second fire, and I don't remember all the details for the second fire, but I do know that she mentioned that while many public records are available on the mansion's two fires of 1975, because apparently the Wolpert Mansion not only burned once, but twice, none of these records state a cause for the flames.
Okay.
It's because it's the gates of hell. It's really hot there.
So, or they were just, like, lazy.
That too.
And they just...
Oh, I...
Okay.
I did mention two fires. I'm sorry. I did definitely mention two fires.
Okay.
May 1975 was the first fire. November 28th, 1975 was when the mansion burned down to the ground in a second fire.
Okay.
And like I said, only the large iron gates remain there.
Gates of hell.
Gates of hell.
The gates of hell.
Probably at night they like start glowing bright red and someone's like "Wah-ha-ha!" and the gates open and some demons just like trounce out, like listening to some degenerate music and smoking cigarettes and drinking beer.
Yeah, they look like the part of Space Jam when the Monstars come out.
Yeah.
They look like that.
Just real bad dudes.
Just real bad dudes. So they always want to play you in basketball for whatever reason. I don't know why.
So I mentioned earlier that she and I actually drove past it, and she actually had me GPS the address for the mansion. And you know, we got there, we drove past it, we pulled over. I actually got out of the car, and she, like, when I came back, she was like, "You actually got out of the car? Why would you do that?" You know, because, like, supposed to be haunted. Like, I could have brought back a demon to our place. Thankfully, we're not haunted. I mean, nothing bad is happening.
You also could have been potentially forced to raise somebody.
Yeah.
Well, this was broad daylight, so I think we were more okay during broad daylight.
You were good getting out of the car. If you had stayed in the car, the jogger could have come up and started banging on the back of the car. And
but we weren't on top of joggers.
I know.
Hills,
bear
so
with me,
Skeet.
Bear with
come.
Me, okay?
Okay.
Like, you
right.
could have, you know, if you get out of the car and the jogger's banging on the car, you just look at him and you're like, hey, stop. And he leaves.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's true because you weren't
Plus
in the car.
Plus, there were other cars driving. Yeah. There were other cars driving by, so, you
Ghost
know,
cars.
We would have been okay.
Yeah.
Ghost cars, sure. But anyway.
Did you check their headlights?
So
how many headlights were on?
Yeah.
Was it just one?
Don't say it like that, Sakeef. Ghost cars, sure. Your whole episode's about ghost cars. Don't sit over here like, yeah, sure, ghost cars, those are real.
I mean, it was broad daylight. That's why I'm like,
ghosts. Ghosts have stuff to do in the day.
Ghosts do day
stuff.
Yeah,
but I tend to think that ghosts are more active at night. So I tend to feel safer at, don't ruin the daylight for me. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's probably, no, like, in daylight, when you see ghosts, you just think they're people. You're just like, oh, there's a dude, but he was actually a ghost, just running some errands. Going to the store. Going to the post office, you know. Sending ghost mail. I'm waiting for you to pick up, come in and start talking.
I just was waiting to figure out what you were trying to do.
I have no aim in my life. I'm also trying to figure out what I'm doing.
So we did stop. We actually found the location. There were no buildings, but we did see, like, we pulled up and there's a little iron. There's like a little gate, like a little fence. And the fence, you know, I read some signs. They say lifetime fence in Adams County open space. So they were pretty simple. Looks like it's been converted. It looks like it's been converted to public land, essentially. But, you know, there is a fence blocking off the area. And if you kind of look off to the distance, you can sort of see the like some shard remains of the on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see like, or you know, like how they have those orange plasticky fence things like around locations.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a lot of that around. Like, it looks like that part is fenced off with this orange, you know, plastic fencing. So that would be like, that's pretty much all that remains of that area now. Like, there's nothing left.
Orange is like Halloween colors, so that's pretty spooky.
Yeah, and when the sun goes down, it's dark and black. So Halloween colors.
And then the ghosts come out.
And then the ghosts come out and they burn down the mansion.
Again.
Oh.
Yeah. Dude, and guys, like I said, the fire, both fires are unexplained. Like, there's no, like, they couldn't figure out the cause of the fires. Like, what do you guys think happened?
It just like something hot, like touched something flammable and then the fire happened. It's usually how fire happens.
Curtis, that's my job. I'm supposed to be the logical straight shooter.
Clearly, the black Camaro dude was like really, you know, burning rubber.
He's scurring,
and he ignited a spark and poof.
He scurred by the mansion and just like his bumper bumped against a rock because Colorado's very rocky. It's just rocky mountains there.
Yeah.
And some sparks just shot out.
Hit some kindling, and it was kind of like that bomb trail. Like that gunpowder line.
Cartoon, yeah, the gunpowder line. And then it went down in the chicken coop, where chickens, as we know, are very flammable. As flammable as, like, gasoline. And so they just explode. And that just inflames the whole house. And then, meanwhile, the Camaro is just scurrying off into the moonlit sunset. Because it's a night sunset, because it's ghosts. Ghosts can do anything. So that's our explanation, Sakeef.
Yep. You wanted our explanation.
Okay. All right. That's fair. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for my thing. So I do want to ask, like, what does our audience think of this little ghost story we talked about? What do you guys think caused the fire of the mansion? If you guys have any ideas, please email us or comment on this episode and let us know what you guys think happened to the mansion and what happened in those 1975 fires. But like I said, those are the stories. A lot of creepy stuff happens. I should say,
happens
on Riverdale. Still happens.
So is this? It's like a like sort of like a local, like ghost stories, and it's is it like sort of a known thing locally?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's actually articles online about Riverdale Road.
All right. And it's like
local newspapers have actually talked about it. Like the Westword, I believe, actually talked about Riverdale Road.
Okay.
And the Westword is actually a big publication in Denver.
Interesting. Interesting.
Huh.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you know, Sagiv, I want to applaud you for like, I think this is our first episode where someone has been on location, at the place and has like firsthand primary knowledge of things that have happened. Like,
yeah,
we do episodes about like Nazis and Antarctica and, space, literally the moon.
We've never been there.
And we've never been to any of those places. So this is, it's nice that we have somewhere down home and something we can really dig our fingers
into. We have some personal experiences with this.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you guys should plan a trip to Roswell.
I mean, that's something that we could do.
We could go to Roswell.
We could go to Stonehenge. We could go to...
I wasn't there for the Roswell episode, though.
Yeah.
We can't really go to Stonehenge. That's very far away.
We can.
We could go, but like, it's very far. It's not like Roswell's a couple hours from us. Stonehenge is literally in Europe. It's not as easy to get there.
You mean in Gob?
In Gob. I'm sorry. In Gob. Europe is pretend.
If you don't know what we're talking about, check out our alternative facts on Anchor. We talk about our alternative facts that we post every day.
Yeah. So, or you can also look at our alternative facts that we post on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah. But before we leave for today here.
Oh, I was about to leave.
I actually have a little story. This popped into the news today.
Today.
Today, actually.
The day that is now.
The day that we are recording this, which is...
November
Thursday,
2nd.
November 2nd.
Thursday, November 2nd.
So on Thursday, November 2nd, from the BBC.com, they released that a lot of the Osama bin Laden, because Osama bin Laden was assassinated in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't know that. And when they ended up killing him in the raid to take him down, they confiscated a bunch of things from his
house,
from
or
his
whatever
home,
he was in,
from his compound, wherever he was. And so all of this stuff was previously hidden. Nobody knew what it was except for the CIA and the operatives who took it. Well, they released some information about what was on his personal computer. I don't know why they did it, but they did. So it's been released. Now, what are your guesses on what is on his personal computer?
Porn.
So keep guesses, porn. I think I may have seen something about this, but I will abstain from guessing that guess.
Okay.
And I'm going to guess, you know, just pictures of Sakeef.
I want to also guess, like, he might have found, like, he might have had, like, some kind of, like, important federal documents from like the U.S. government somehow might have hacked them or something.
Okay. Osama bin Laden wasn't known for hacking or having hackers, but that is a good guess.
I bet he wrote a bunch of poetry.
So let's get into it. So here's a quote from the actual article. Some contents are being withheld over security or because they are corrupted or pornographic, the CIA said.
Oh, Sakeef is right about the porn.
So Sakeef was right about porn.
Sorry.
CIA CIA director Mike Pompeo said the release include 18,000 documents, 79,000 audio files and images, and more than 10,000 videos, which shed light on the plans and workings of this terrorist organization.
I had a lot of shit on his computer.
Yeah, a lot of shit. But let's talk about the more fun things that he had on his computer. So as I said, he had over 10,000 videos. Now one of the videos was of his son's wedding. So you can see a bunch of
that's nice.
Yeah. And all this has been released to the public. So you can see that.
You can watch them.
Yeah, you can watch them. All of the stuff that, some of the stuff has been released to the public. Some of it has not, due to the fact that it is copywritten. So they can't just release this stuff freely on the internet.
Like he had like the Matrix on his computer.
Well, Curtis, why don't I just tell you what he had?
Okay.
The Al-Qaeda leader had a series of animated films on his hard drive, including Ants, Cars, Chicken Little, and The Three Musketeers.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Chicken Little. It comes back.
It comes back.
This couldn't have gone more perfectly.
There were also several YouTube videos, including a viral clip from the UK called Charlie Bit My Finger.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And
he bit me. Something like that.
Yeah. And videos about crocheting, including one titled How to Crochet a Flower.
Nice.
The role-playing computer game Final Fantasy VII was also on the computer.
Are you fucking kidding?
That is what I heard. That Final Fantasy VII was on his computer.
Bin Laden also had copies of three documentaries about him, including one called Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden, as well as National Geographic documentaries including Kung Fu Killers, Inside the Green Berets, and The World's Worst Venom.
I'd have documentaries of myself if I was famous on my computer. So yeah, that makes sense.
So I just thought that was really funny. And we've talked about 9/11 before on the podcast. So bringing up Osama bin Laden, you know.
It's topical and
it's
relevant.
Topical. It happened today. They released all this information. So
and that's funny.
It's it's very funny that just he like had Chicken Little on his computer.
Just like how Saddam Hussein liked Doritos.
It's funny.
These people we think of as like enormous evil figures, you know, they have
they have real lives.
Yeah, they have practicalities to them. Sometimes they're bored and they want to watch Cars.
They want to play Final Fantasy VII.
They
want to
play Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though. Yeah.
I thought that you guys would enjoy that. Skeef specifically enjoying the Final Fantasy VII.
I mean, I've never played Final... Like, I've only played bits and pieces of Final Fantasy VII, to be honest, but I've always wanted to, but I do like Final Fantasy.
It's endorsed by Osama bin Laden, so I don't know what else you need.
Please don't say it's endorsed by... We can just say that he was an enjoyer of the video game. We don't even know if he actually liked it.
He was on his computer, so...
It was a computer.
It was on his computer. That doesn't mean he might have liked it. He could have just left it
If he didn't like it, he probably would have deleted it. Free up space. Do you know how much pornography he had on there? I don't, but...
No, Brendan, tell me.
But a lot. I mean, I gave you the specs of the... Of what he had on there. It was quite a bit of stuff.
Probably a significant amount of pornography.
I mean, there were 10,000 video clips, and I only told you about 5 or 6.
He probably had a lot of pornographic documents.
Yeah.
Text files.
there's like the text files of just like porn, but what is the...
ASCII.
ASCII.
And it's like, yeah, it's like a drawing, but with text. Yeah. That's what you do. Anyways, anybody got more stuff to talk about? Or are we gonna be done?
Well, that's our show for this week.
That's our show for this week.
That's our show for this week.
That is our show for this.
If you guys liked this, you guys can. We have a bunch of different other episodes. You guys can check them out. We've done 42 of these. There are 41 other ones that you can check out.
Yeah, you can now. You can't listen to 42 more yet, but you can listen to 41 more.
41 additional episodes. you can find us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, you know, Stitcher, all those places. You can find us on Twitter at MWRcast, as well as Facebook, and on the Anchor app, where we talk about alternative facts daily. So check out those alternative facts. If you like what you're listening to, give us a review, you know, on any of those places.
Visit our website, MulderWasRight.wordpress.com. We post our sources there. You can fact check us. You can tell us we're full of shit. You can
please
tell
don't.
Us We're wonderful people.
Please do.
We actually want to hear if we're wonderful people or not. We want to know if we're making
Don't tell us we're bad.
And if we're not, tell us.
Tell us we're good only. What? Don't tell us bad things.
You will make Curtis very sad. Don't make me sad. Bad things.
Yeah. If you guys like the music, check out Christian Tedino on SoundCloud.
Email us at MulderWasRightCast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do those things.
Yeah.
And we will, you know, see you next time, where we're going to be talking about something different, probably.
Wake up, sheeple.
Pip, 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 pip.
What in the hell?